shift around from the Red Cups.
That's right, they used to be there.
Yes. On the side.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, John was the rowdy one on the yard.
Is that surprising?
Yeah, the kids are all good.
John, that story about the thing that exploded, does it have a biblical application? Did you need to share now, or is that later?
I was telling a little bit to Lily about
that. Right there,
so it was, in fact, I was going to bring it here tonight if you brought it. It would have been quite a story.
How much longer?
Are you doing those photos?
I'll tell you.
Are you doing those like every week?
What exploded?
I was
cool
working
like that?
At their house.
You're not cool like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
And,
or Josh should do them.
$300 for this
every
tank.
Week.
Of itself. Yeah.
A special what?
So
it's a special chemical.
Okay.
To apply plywood onto brick. Mm-hmm. So I had to cover the brick.
Yep.
Yeah, this tank exploded and it just blew stuff
everywhere.
It was like, and I was covered in all this sticky goo. And so I couldn't use it, which meant I had to buy these tubes of PL with that $14 a tube, whatever, and go through a lot of tubes to put that plywood on. Anyway, and so I was driving to Penner's. And it was hot, like, not this past Monday, but the Monday before. It was, like, baking hot, and I was covered, and I was so upset. And it was just after 11 o'clock, and I turned the radio on. And like I said to Lily, you know, when someone's in a car crash, the last thing you want to do is go up and say to them, well, God works all things for the good, you know. It's not appropriate, and I did not want to hear anything. I was really upset. So anyway, so I'm listening to Charles Price, and he's talking about Jesus in the storm. And then all of a sudden, my radio cuts out, and I was just at the corner where Josh and Candace lived there. And my radio never cuts out except going up on the hill by the Brock Monument. All of a sudden, the radio cuts out, and this lyric comes clear as a bell over the radio, I am waiting for you. Like, what? And then all of a sudden it disappeared and it was just white noise. Like, how bizarre is that? Like, so I'm listening to Charles Price. It's totally clear, just like that. It stops and then this voice saying, I am waiting for you. And then just white noise. And I'm trying to, like, it was just the most bizarre thing. And I thought, well, wow, okay. So I was still upset, but it was like, I thought the Holy Spirit said, I did that for you. I just did that for you.
All right. Wow. Weird. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, it was, it's been kind of stuck with me all this time.
I guess so.
Not the substance.
Yeah.
stuck with you.
Come on, Candace. You're in the chair.
Come up with me,
so if you go up their driveway and you look at this row of rocks and there's yellow stuff, we spent all this time trying to...
I didn't even ask you what that was from.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to tell you guys about it, but it was...
It's covering half the front of your truck out there, I
know. I know, it's all over my truck, and it's just like... Anyway,
all
what
right. Could have been worse.
It could have been worse.
Could have been better.
The Lord works all things for the good.
All right, well, let's pray. Who will lead us in prayer?
Father, it seems like a long time since we've gathered like this. We just rejoice that we can get back together, Lord. We look forward to spending time together and digging into your word. And Holy Spirit, we just ask again that you would reveal to us that which you want to, that our hearts would be open to receiving. Lord, we just thank you that even through this we can encourage each other and support each other and just walk this road together. Lord, so we want to walk it with you and we want to walk it with each other. We just ask you to bless our time now together.
Yes, sir.
I called Ian to see whether he wanted to come, and he wasn't up to it.
Okay.
So he said to say hi to a bunch.
To you and you, no, not you. Yeah. Is he like under the weather a little bit or just tired?
I think he's wearing a heart monitor.
Okay.
So he's tired and.
Well, like Ian had a mini stroke 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
I would imagine three, yeah.
Yeah, and so let's keep him in our prayers, because I imagine that took a lot out of him then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Well, say hi back, and we miss him.
I'll give him a call.
That's good. It's good that you're both right there with each other.
Well, we're neighbors.
Yes.
Except I'm closer to heaven than him. No, actually, on the same floor.
No, you're on the same floor. You're on the same floor, so about the same distance.
It's good you can call him since it's so far away.
You may have a bunk bed.
All right. Anyways, we're on page 109, I think. 53, for those of you who have the new books. And I think, like I'm trying to remember from 2 weeks ago, we talked about personal sin. So this is under the category of how does the demonic gain access to a person? For those who are first time, like you're jumping right into the middle of some very interesting stuff.
Dive right in.
And if you have any questions, just ask. But we're talking about the working of, like, how the enemy works and just the war that's going on and our need for deliverance. What we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, we see that part of that prayer is, and deliver us from evil. But actually there, a more true translation would be, deliver us from the evil one. And we need to have that deliverance. The enemy hates us, and he wants to come against us, and not just come against us, but invade our land, if you will, and have his way in our lives. So we're talking about deliverance, and then how the demonic actually gains access. Because just like in any war, we want to be wise. We want to understand what's going on. Like, how is the enemy getting in? Why is he able to do this? And so, because when we find out how and why, we can then war against him in a more informed way and kick him out and get him out of our lives. And so we've talked about generational sins, things passed down to us, and how a lot of that operates, even like our physical DNA, our spiritual DNA, because we understand that the physical is a shadow of the spiritual. That's why God made everything the way he did. It's to tell the deeper reality of the spiritual. And so some things are passed down from parents to children, or grandparents to grandchildren, even. It can skip a generation and stuff like that. And then we also talked about personal sin. I think we got through personal sin last time, did we not?
Yeah, we sort of rushed it, but we did get through.
We rushed it. I don't like rushing. So does anyone have any questions about how the enemy gains access through personal sin from what we talked about last week? I'll just reiterate Ephesians 4 there, where it talks specifically about the sin of unholy anger. There is an anger that is holy, but then there's unholy anger. And it talks about not allowing the sun to go down on your anger, meaning don't let the day end with anger in your heart. Because when we do that, it gives the devil a foothold. And we've talked about that many times, but I'm going to reiterate it again, where the word foothold there is in the Greek, it's topos. It's where we get our word topography. And it talks about, it really is talking about like a beachhead or an area of holding, like it's a warfare kind of term as well, an area of holding from which he can launch attack. And so I don't think it's just the sin of anger, it's any sin, where if we hold on to it, the enemy starts gaining a foothold in our lives. And he begins to claim that beachhead and then launch attack into our land. If you can think about your life like a country or land, and he begins to launch from that one area and try to spread, because he wants to take over everything. Okay, he wants to take over the world. So we need to make sure we keep short accounts. And that's the beautiful thing about the cross, is that what Jesus did, it overcomes everything. It overpowers everything, every plan of the enemy. Even death itself has no sting anymore. And that's the enemy's greatest weapon. And even that has no sting. Yes, there's sadness to it, but ultimately there's no sting. And the worst thing that he can do to us is just send us into God's presence. So with sin, because of what Jesus did on the cross, we just, Lord, forgive me. I claim that forgiveness. I thank you for that forgiveness. I thank you for the cross. And I apply the cross to this. And we are then, legally, we are set free then. Like legally in the heavenly realms, we are set free. And then we can come against the enemy's work in us.
So demonization is not something most of us have grown up really talking about, I don't think. And nope. I think we can kind of have those thoughts, well, it doesn't really happen to me because I'm a Christian, maybe. I don't know. I know I've had those thoughts before. But when you have something in your life that you keep sinning, you keep doing the same sin over and over and over again, that is where it's going to become a stronghold. And that's where this demonization happens.
Yeah.
And so it's not that we need to be afraid of that, or like, oh, I will never get this right and become totally discouraged about it, but just recognize when you have a sin that you keep doing, that's where the enemy's going to like
gain that stronghold,
and it's very possible you will become demonized. Okay? So,
or maybe you already are.
And maybe
in
probably,
that area.
Yeah. So that's where righteousness and repentance are what is needed to starve out the enemy.
Yeah.
So righteousness means we need to know the right way to live. So if we're not in the Word, we don't really know all the right ways. So it's important to know the right way to live. And then repentance is where we sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit and repent as soon as we sense that conviction. But because we've been sinning over and over again, our hearts have become hard to that conviction. So that's where we pray, God, soften my heart so that I sense that conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because it's only through repentance and belief, again, that we're able to be set free from the stronghold.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up the whole, like, the areas that you sin over and over again in. Because I don't want anyone to be afraid. Well, first of all, we don't need to be afraid at all. I mean, yes, demonization, that's a big scary word. It can be, especially if we haven't grown up with it, it's like, you know? What do you mean? Like, we can be demonized. Okay, yes, it's serious, but in some ways, like, I want to say this properly, like, not too much on one side, not too much on the other. It's not overwhelming, okay? Because here's just the fact, okay? I go back to a quote that I heard, I've mentioned it here before, but I've never been able to verify it. Like, I've Googled it, and I can't verify that John Wimber actually said this. So whether he said it or not, it doesn't matter, but I've heard it attributed to him. And people were talking about demonization, And so people coming from more our background, where, no, Christians can't even be touched by the enemy, were talking with John Wimber, and they said to him, so what you're saying is that every Christian has a demon? And John Wimber said, no. Every Christian has many demons. And so it's not to make light of the situation, but it is a fact. It's just like, we all have aches and pains, or we all have stuff in our lives. And now, because of what Jesus did, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, because of his faithfulness, we can now come to the place of, okay, let's start cleaning house. And we can just, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can start walking out the freedom that he won for us and kicking the enemy out of our land. Okay? It's the Israelites coming to the promised land, God saying it's yours, but the promised land is full of the enemy. Okay? And you just, like Caleb, one by one, you just start kicking the enemy out. And so I'm glad that you brought up, especially the things that we sin in continually. I don't want us to be scared of, oh no, I sinned. That means I'm going to be demonized. Ah, you know, no, we never have to walk in fear. Greater is he who is in us. Greater is the one who is in our spirit. Like the Holy Spirit lives within us and in our spirit. We commune together with him there. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to be afraid. But we do need to take this seriously and walk it out. And what I would say is, those areas that you find yourself continually sinning in, but you don't want it in your life, I imagine we all have stuff like that. Like, oh, why did I do that again? I don't want that. And God doesn't want that. So why do I do it? Yeah, probably because you have a stronghold in that area. It's a stronghold. Because you don't want it, God doesn't want it, but you keep doing it. It's Romans 7 talks about how it's the sin living in you. And that's where it's like, Lord, set me free. Set me free. And we can be set free. But we commit to walking in righteousness, which is the right way of living. We ask for forgiveness. We repent. We believe. Believe, dwell on the fact that Jesus did it already. Like, his work is a finished work, and it is powerful. And we walk in that belief. Okay? Any questions or comments on that?
I think a good way to open the door is when one tells a story and you're not quite upright on it.
Absolutely.
That'll do it.
Yeah, that's one way. Like the sin of pride or the sin of lying.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Absolutely. Anytime we start walking in the enemy's ways, it's inviting the enemy. We talked about this when we first started talking about deliverance ministry. It's like whistling to the enemy. Woohoo! Come here. You know, it's like blood in the water for the sharks. It's like the smell of death for vultures. I mean, the rotting flesh for vultures. Whenever we start walking in the ways of the enemy, it's inviting him. It sends out a call, almost, to come close. So whether that's exaggerating a story and lying, or pride, or anger, or, and the list can go on and on, you know, sexual sin, or different things, it's go on and on. So that's where personal sin really opens the door and invites the enemy to come and find a place to abide a little bit. Okay? All right. So then we'll move on to trauma, a third way that the demonic can gain access to a person is trauma, violent acts, exploitation, or wounding. Again, I said this a few weeks ago, with this one, there are some passages that we're going to be reading, but with this one, it's as I've learned about this, and I've seen it, it's one of those that like with Randy and Darla. Randy and Darla are our mentors, and they've been praying for people and ministering to people in regards to deliverance ministry for decades now, and have a lot of experience. They've seen the fact of this, and so like some of it is personal my personal experience, but their personal experience and what they have seen, the reality of ministering to people who have been demonized. And it's not like those, whenever we're giving personal examples or our personal testimony in that, it's not on the level of scripture, but it shouldn't be just thrown away either. It's really important. And especially when a person has walked it out in experience for many, many, many years, okay? So with trauma, violent acts, exploitation, or wounding. So we'll just read and then I'll speak to it a little bit. Accidents, operations, abuse, and whether the abuse be physical, sexual, mental, and emotional, these things, things that one has witnessed, rape, murder, fear of any kind, violence, graphic visual scenes, etc. These are different things, traumatic events, if you will, in people's lives. So one interesting note here is to understand that the demonic feeds on what we believe. And this is really important to understand about this section. He feeds on what we believe. And if you think about it, so too are we fed by the Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit feeds on what we believe, but the Holy Spirit feeds us according to what we believe. You receive grace, which is the empowering presence of God, through faith. What we believe is really important, and not just in our heads, but in the depth of our being. Well, the enemy also feeds or is empowered, or whatever you want to call it, by what we believe. Therefore, the demonic can affect us according to the way we remember or perceive an event. That is why some people can come out seemingly unscathed from a traumatic event, and others may be crippled from something much less intense. It's not what happens to us in life that determines our freedom and growth, but how we respond to it. And that's a really good opening paragraph of explaining why the demonic can gain access through traumatic events, violent acts, exploitation, and woundings. It's because of what we actually believe because of those events. And so even like a traumatic event like an accident, okay, and the fear that can sometimes come in.
Because the will goes down.
Will goes down because it just, the fear comes in and we start quite naturally being afraid. Well, fear is never from the Lord, unless it's the fear of the Lord. But like fear is never from the Lord. Someone might say, but can't we understand? Like, isn't it understandable that the person would be afraid? Absolutely. We can totally empathize. We can totally sympathize with the person. Absolutely. No judgment here. But the fact is, the fear is a belief thing. And it's almost, if you look at it closely, it's a belief maybe that God can't take care of me, or that the circumstance is greater than my relationship with God, or anything else, because the person's not thinking rationally at that point, right? Because of the traumatic event. And then the enemy, being the opportunist that he is, and he doesn't care that you're hurting, he'll come in through that fear belief, or that what's going on in the person's mind and emotions.
So would you tie those two sentences together? The demonic feeds on what we believe and how we respond to it.
Well, we will always respond to what we believe, right?
Yeah, but that's why she says, and how we respond to it.
Or how we respond to the traumatic event, or what?
The last five words in that paragraph is, but how we respond to it.
So it's not what happens to us in life that determines our freedom and growth, but how we respond to what happens to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I would say is how we respond will always show what we believe.
Yeah.
Always. And that's why, again, so someone responds a traumatic event happens and someone responds in anger or someone responds in absolute fear and panic. Again, we can totally sympathize. I'm not saying this so that we can look our noses down on someone for that. I totally get that. Like, I totally get a person responding with fear or with panic. But that panic is coming from a place of belief. Not that the person is even choosing to believe, if you will. Like, they're not making a rational choice at that point. But we always respond according to what we believe. Like Jesus on the cross, I mean, that's a pretty traumatic event. He did not respond in a panicked way. He responded actually in a very controlled way. Some people might say, well, that's unfair, that's Jesus. Well, yes, but it also shows that his actions and his beliefs were perfect. And I don't know if I'm making sense here, but like, yeah, the way we respond to something shows the belief. And again, it's not to point our noses down at someone, but it is an opening for the enemy to come in. Does that make sense? Little?
It's that security.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to walk peacefully with God, like just having that security.
Yeah.
The picture that keeps coming to mind is, I think it's like the God's not dead. And the homeless man comes up to the van and the guy pulls out a gun on him and he doesn't get scared, he just talks to him and they end up leaving. Actually, his face changes and his whole attitude changes of what just happened there. Like that should have scared him away.
Right. And so it's a great example. So you have a traumatic event of someone pulling a gun on you. For one person, it could totally open up to the demonic, where fear and the panic and the trauma and just, you know, everything. And the enemy will see that because it's coming from a place of, like, where's your security? But for another person, they'll have the same event, but it's not traumatic because their security is in Christ. And it's like, even if you pull the trigger, and I'm not being exaggerating here, we know of examples of that. And so it's how we respond to the events. And what I would suggest too is how we respond to events will show us what we believe. And I haven't been through I've been through a few traumatic events. Like I've been in an accident and that where I went into shock actually. And I'm not sure how much of that is just a physical response. It's not so much a belief thing. But even like with, like they mention operations, you know, we've talked about it too, about some of the drugs that they put us on when we go in an operation and that, our wills can be totally put low, like they can, the guard can be lowered and we got to be careful about that. So I'm not sure about how much of that is a willful and belief response. I'm even thinking about other things that are far less, like not traumatic at all, but an event happens, I respond without thinking about it. How I respond is actually showing me, it's an opportunity for me to see what I believe. It's like, ooh, I guess I believe that I need to defend myself and I'm my defender. Or I guess I believe that I need to justify myself or control the situation. It actually reveals some of the strongholds in me. How I respond to something reveals some of the stuff in me. Does that make sense?
Okay. Would it be like a thermometer?
Absolutely. It can totally be like a thermometer. And this is where then we can actually praise God for those things rather than heap on guilt on ourselves or on each other. You know, it's this place of, oh, okay, I still got growth to do in this area. Lord, thank you. Thank you. I've always said I'm a good button pusher, but I try not to, right, too much anymore. How we respond shows.
Yeah, I was actually going to share a personal example. This was more personal on my part, but was yesterday at the airport. So, yeah, just in our interaction as a family, when Kevin spoke to me, so this has happened a lot in my past with Kevin, and I thought I was good with it, but it rose up again. And it was when he misunderstands what I'm saying and he keeps having to correct me or question what I'm saying, and I just can't say it correctly enough for him to understand me. I got very angry with Kevin, and it happened again today, actually, but I didn't say anything, but I recognized it, and I'm thankful that God is showing me again, that it's something that he pushes my button, and I am getting so angry at him, it's not producing love in me, and so...
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know about today's. I forgive you. And this is where it's so neat because the human, the way the world would say it or the way we sometimes think is, well, if that person changes, then I won't respond that way. But that doesn't get rid of the stuff. We're always responsible for our own stuff, right? And so it reveals something in her. Yes, I might have stuff to work on too. You know, absolutely. It doesn't take away my responsibility, but if it rises up in you, it's in you. And you need to take care of it. So whether that's from a generational sin thing, or a personal sin thing, or a traumatic event, it's this place of, okay, I need to take care of this. Now, again, we're talking about how does the demonic gain access. Yeah, and so through traumatic event, it can gain that access because the will is, the defenses are brought low and the enemy will come in and take advantage of that. Okay? And we need to be aware of that. And so even when we prayed for Kels there on Monday, just... you can tell, okay, with a traumatic event, okay, or whatever it is, you can tell that something's going on that's not right by how the person is walking through it, you know. And so panic or uncontrollable, like crying kind of thing or whatever. And it doesn't mean that you've necessarily done anything wrong. It's that the enemy is taking advantage, okay. And to pray over the person right away, if we can think about it, the enemy is trying to plant something. The easiest and the best way to get rid of something that's planted that you don't want in your garden is at the beginning. So when it's just a little sapling, when it's just a little seed, when it's just a small thing, when it's just a small weed or something, right? You take care of it there. Don't let it grow. Don't let it spread. And so right away, I've heard an example of, I know one of the people down, and I won't mention names because I haven't asked permission necessarily, although they've shared it publicly, but whatever. Someone got in an accident, and because of that accident, someone else died, actually. And the person who witnessed the accident was, I think, part of it. They got prayed for that night. Like, we need to pray. We need to come and to pray for you. Like, some leadership of Freedom Ministries or Hope Church. And just casting the enemy out, get out. You can't have it. Because the person was traumatized. And you could tell the signs of trauma were there. And you could tell. And so coming against it right away. And praise God, the person has walked in freedom from that trauma. Like, has never experienced the hard stuff of that trauma again. Okay? Whereas some people who have walked through that and not taken care of it, they're still having flashbacks months, years later. They can still see it. They can still smell it. They can still, because the enemy is tormenting them. And so, if you have something like that in your life, where you look back to a situation, a traumatic event, whatever it is, accident, operation, like with operations, like fear of dying, fear of all those things, any type of fear, or abuse, that's a hard one to talk to people about. Because an abuse victim is twice the victim. So they're abused in the physical, whether that's physical, emotional, mental, or sexual, or whatever. So they are abused by a person, but they're also abused by the enemy then spiritually. And the enemy has gained a stronghold. I was talking to someone recently, I forget who, I've talked about this with many people though. You have an abuse that takes place, and I think of it, when I think of an abuse, I think of a deep wound. And I always, I don't know why I always go to the leg, maybe because it's like exposed and our femur and everything, and there's vital organs, like there's arteries here, not organs, but arteries and everything, and we walk on it and we need our legs. And so I always see this deep, like almost like a sword cut down to the bone, like wounding. And some, like some abuse all like is deeper than others, but like really bad. God wants to bring a place of healing where the tendons and the muscles and everything are healed, where the bone is healed, where you can again walk normally. And to the place where, so say you were cut at the job site. So instead of it being abuse, it's just you're cut, or in an accident, you're cut deeply or whatever. And it wounds. Now you'll have a scar, but you'll be able to walk and you'll be able to do the things. And maybe with a limp, maybe not, who knows. But eventually everything heals. And you can talk to how did you get that scar? Well, this is what happened. And you can hopefully come to a place of talking about it where, yeah, this is what happened, but now it's healed. So too with abuse. That's where God wants to take us. But unless the enemy is kicked out and the spiritual aspect is dealt with, usually a person won't be able to talk about it. It'll always be a gaping wound. It'll always be festering. But God wants to bring full healing. Full healing. We believe in full healing in our emotions and in our minds, in the soul. We believe in physical healing, we pray for, and we know that God can and often does physically heal. But the fulfillment for physical healing is yet to come. That's when Jesus returns. The ultimate fulfillment and ultimate manifestation of that. We are in the age right now of Him healing our souls. So our mind, our will, and our emotions, how we see things, how we live life. We have been saved in our spirit. We are fully healed in our spirit. We are being healed in our souls. So we believe that people can be healed from this. Okay? So with the different abuses and that, that's one way that the enemy gains access. Okay, went off on a little tangent there, but I think it's really worthwhile. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, let's move on then. Many question why this last category is a legal way for the enemy to enter, since it does not seemingly involve personal or generational sin. We think the answer, and when says we, like Randy and Darla, they think the answer lies, and I would agree, in the character of the evil one. He takes advantage of the innocent at a moment when their will or their guard is down, and uses the sin of another, or even the, like an accident, for instance, isn't anyone's sin. It's sometimes just accidents happen. You know, the accident I was in, it was loose gravel. And yeah, the person was going a little too fast, but I wouldn't say he sinned. He was driving a little too fast. And all of a sudden we were on our roof, you know? And it's like, And so it's not even a sin. But the enemy takes advantage of the innocent at a moment when their will or their guard is down and uses the sin of another to open the door. And we've often used the analogy of our life is like a house, right? Our life is like a house. And you know, you think of some of the storms that sometimes happen. And the old movie scene where all of a sudden a strong wind comes and the windows are blown wide open or a door is blown open because the wind was so strong. That's like some traumatic events. The door of our life, the door of our soul is blown wide open all of a sudden with a strong gust of wind or a strong push or an earthquake or something. And the enemy doesn't care that you didn't choose to do it. He will rush in if he gets the chance. Yeah?
What does it mean then, use the sin of another?
Meaning, like in an abusive situation, for instance. So someone else is sinning against you. It's not your fault. You know, a child that is being molested, it's not that child's fault. There's nothing the child did. And it's the sin of someone else. Or, like in an accident, say it is a drunk driver. And you're in an accident. Or you think about even some, like every time I drive on the highway and I see someone just standing on a bridge over the highway just looking, I'm like, I've heard too many times of people ending it that way. Think of how traumatic that is for the person who hits them. Like you're just, someone's just driving home after a hard day's work. And all of a sudden, someone jumps and lands on the front of their car and they kill someone. And the enemy will come in, like can come in, if the doors are open and be like, you killed someone. Now, my response to that should be, like it's easy to say when it hasn't happened, right, to me, but the response would be, no, I did not. That person killed themselves. And actually, they sinned against me. They sinned against me. I forgive them, but they sinned against me. It's not my fault. But for many, that would be a crazy, traumatic experience. So I always am like, stay there. Sometimes I pray for the person. They might just be watching the traffic for all I know, but still, it's like, nah. Okay, so yeah, the enemy takes advantage of the open door. Therefore, things like fears, bitterness, pain, etc. have a chance to enter when we are caught off guard. And what I would say to that is, especially if we have some of those things in our lives already. Especially, so if you have fears in our lives, like unholy fear, like the only holy fear is the fear of God. And it's actually a very freeing kind of thing, like to have a holy fear of God. But if you have some of those things in your life, and then...
So all the phobias.
Yeah. If you have those fears and then a traumatic event happens, man, the enemy will rush in with even more fear. Yeah?
Yeah, so like when I was younger, I was in the course of maybe one winter, I can't really, either one or two winters, I was involved in three accidents because of icy and bad roads, and I was never driving. And I have a controlling spirit issue. So.
She just thought of a joke, I'm sure.
It's the chair. It's the chair. It's the chair.
But, so, in regards, like, Larry can totally attest to this, so, and then, like, when we started to date, like, guys love to go fast and do donuts and stuff, like, really, I'm like, anyway, yeah, like,
you're saying Larry likes to do donuts.
But, like, that was such a hard one for me, and, like, just kind of thinking about that now, yeah, it still is, like, you know, you can just see how that just gets in, right?
Yes.
And yeah. But I just was going to say as well, like,
like especially when it's accidents and stuff, it's not even a matter of choosing.
No.
Like, even when we say your will
is lowered.
It's not that we're choosing to lower.
No.
It just happens.
Exactly.
Right? We are human.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, like really the enemy just comes in because he sees that opportunity.
Right.
And it's like, wow.
Yeah, so I want to emphasize that point too, because maybe I said it a little bit wrong at the beginning. It really, like these events often, like it's not that we choose them. And maybe it's just that some people are more vulnerable to them than others. Because, like, I think of one of the guys down at Hope, and he had a gun pulled on him. It didn't faze him at all. Oh, it was a knife. Yeah, a knife. Give me all your money. It's like, really? Go away. You know, kind of thing. It's like, wow, you don't have those fear issues. So maybe some people are more vulnerable than others just because, I don't know. But it's not, you know, I want to emphasize in these traumatic events, it's not a choosing kind of thing. It just is all of a sudden there. What I really would encourage, though, is notice, or maybe loved ones, notice what's going on at that point, and then be willing to pray for each other or be willing to ask for prayer. So even with this, like this revelation, I don't know if you've thought about this before with the accidents that happened in the 2-year span and the controlling stuff that is still present. It's like, oh, I'm seeing a correlation here. Lord, you know, do I need to forgive someone? Am I holding something against the drivers? Or Lord, forgive me for now believing that I can actually control the situations.
Clearly I cannot.
Because clearly you can't. And I want to be done with that. And so in the name of Jesus, I command. Like I want to be freed from this controlling spirit. I don't want it anymore. Because it doesn't produce the fruit of the Spirit in us. Because it's not from God. Okay.
What about this, like, the very new skill that, so I have, I'm afraid of spiders, which I think a lot of people are, right? But, so it's right.
No. So it's okay. As long as the majority of people, no, I'm just kidding.
But I find, like, if I have nightmares, a lot of times I'll wake up, like, and my eyes are open, I can still see the giant spider over me, and I, like, run to the bathroom. And so I know that it's demonic, what's happening. So is that, like, kind of a lot?
I would say definitely pray about it. And I would, yeah, because, again, the only fear we should have is the fear of the Lord.
Right.
Now, it's not that you'll ever like spiders and love spiders and get a pet spider, you know, or anything like that. That's not necessary. But like how we respond, even I think of Carlene down in Ecuador when the snake came, right? While they were worshiping Darla was teaching. And now some might say, okay, so just so you know the story again, a snake came and was right near some kids.
Yeah. It was about 4 rows from the front. I think it had come from the back and it was near the side where it was dark out, and there's only, like, 2 light bulbs in the church, and it's dark in the edges, and the children were sleeping on the edge of the church, because it's just dirt ground in the church, and the snake was right between the children and the bench, and I was 2 rows from it, and I was just standing there in shock.
And so Carlene froze. Praise God, Ryan and
Eric
didn't freeze, and they went over and killed the snake, you know. Now, some people might say, well, but that's understandable. And it is. But is it good? And it's like, Lord, fill me with your courage. Fill me with just the way you look at things. Fill me with how you see it and how you see the situation. Because in a situation like that, like, I don't know how I would react because I don't like snakes. Okay, I don't. I didn't mind snakes at one point. Actually, I didn't mind them in Haiti either. That's true. I had the little boa constrictor on my hand and that. But it was a baby. But I wonder, would I freeze? But I don't want to freeze and it cost one of the kids their lives. Lord, I want to be bold and take action. I want to be filled with bravery and courage. I want to be filled with where my love, and love always protects, right? Where my love covers over everything else. Where I put myself in harm's way even. Right? And so, well, yeah, you're a guy, some might say. Well, no, like, we're all children of God. We're all warriors. And so it's like, oh, Lord, I want to be filled with that courage. Now, especially with what you're saying about the spider and the dreams and waking up, opening your eyes, still seeing the spider there, obviously demonic, obviously taking advantage of that fear. And so, Lord, where does this come from? I come against it. You know, I don't want to have any part of this. I don't want to give the enemy even a chink in, like, a space in my armor. Right? Does that make sense? So we don't rationalize these things away. You know, we walk it out in humility and see where, yeah, I don't see Jesus being afraid of a spider. I don't see Jesus being afraid of a snake. You know, you have David not afraid of a lion, not afraid of a bear, not afraid of Goliath. It's like, Lord, I want to get to that place. I want to get to the place of, like, the warriors, the 30 mighty men, where one of them just sticks around and takes on a whole army by himself. Hand freezes to the sword, not afraid of death, you know. I want to be filled with courage of Moses going into Egypt's courts. You know, I want to be filled with God's spirit to such where, you know, I think of, as soon as, like, the snake story, I think of Heidi Baker, right?
Yeah.
One of her stories is crazy. She's at a wedding. She's performing a wedding, and snake comes in, and it's a black mamba, which is one of the most deadly snakes there is, you know, and people rush out of the church because black mamba's interrupting this wedding, and she goes and kills it. The Lord says, kill it, and she just beats it to death, you know, and picks it up by the tail, and its head is gone, and throws it out and tries to continue on, I think, is how the story goes with the ceremony. I want to be filled with that courage where the Lord says, go and beat that snake. I go. But, yeah, snakes is one of my... I haven't had a lot of experience with it, but...
And it was her son.
I thought it was her... But anyways, either which way, the fear is always a giveaway. Or the unholy response to a situation, whatever it is always a giveaway where I might have an area here that needs to be taken care of, that is given over to the enemy. You know, I mean, let's be really close to home. I don't know how you're doing with, I mean, little whatever her name is, you haven't shared yet, but that's okay. Little
princess.
One is little princess is coming soon. She's coming soon. I don't know, like. I don't know if, like, a lot of people would say, oh, it's normal to be afraid, or it's normal to ask questions. It's normal to, I wonder what it's going to be like, even the birthing process and all of that. But some people might actually be, I imagine, are overcome with an intense fear of the whole situation. That's not of God. Asking questions is of God. Even being like, Lord, I don't like pain, you know, I'm a little concerned about that. That's of God. That's fine. know, even Jesus said, can I have that cup pass from you, please? You know, so you can ask the Lord, Lord, I'd love to do this without pain if you don't mind. That would be great. No trouble. But if it's a fear, if it's gripping you and you can't let it go, there's something wrong and it might be a stronghold. But I don't see that on you at all. That's why I use it as an example. I don't see it at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like some of the other stuff too, though. We shouldn't go looking for something under every bush.
Never. Like, yeah.
And I will go back to the snake issue. I wouldn't expect 100 or whoever many people were there to automatically get up and know what to do to jump on the snake.
Right.
Some people have quicker reaction times than others, or just thing like solutions come to their mind almost, like you know. So it's
like emergency workers.
Yeah, there is something to like a paralyzing fear. Then, but even that is not. I don't know.
Right, and so maybe actually, instead, I hear what you're saying. I agree. It's a good correction. What I would say then is. Say, for instance, after that event, Carlene would start having nightmares and stuff, then it would be one of those places of, oh, the Lord used that traumatic, the enemy used that traumatic event to gain a foothold, but I haven't seen that in you. So it's a good correction. I like that, because I don't want, oh, I might have a stronghold in me because I didn't get up and kill the snake right away. No, that's not what we want to say, and that's not the truth. So it's a good reminder.
Sometimes running away is good.
Sometimes it is. Yeah.
But I
think it's also good to pray, Lord, I want to be strong and courageous in these things too. But I really appreciate you saying that, Larry. It's good. Okay, so So the enemy looks for an open door. He looks to have a chance to enter when we are caught off guard. This is how we remedy too. The quicker that truth and healing are applied, the less chance that the enemy has to take advantage. So again, it's like the tree. He's trying to plant something. We tear it out right away. He puts his foot in the door. We stomp on his foot and say, get out, you know, kind of thing. The quicker we do that, the better. The quicker we pray through it, the quicker we admit it, because, the quicker we take action. So the grace and power of God can overcome anything. And this is one that we really have to, again, what we believe is so important. We have to believe this. It's biblical. The power of God and the grace of God and what Jesus did on the cross can overcome anything.
Amen.
Anything. Everything. Okay? And we need to understand that. Where it's Romans 5:20, where sin increased, grace increased all the more.
Yep.
Grace is the empowering presence of God, enabling us to be what God has called us to be and do what God has called us to do. So where there is the enemy, the Lord is there and even stronger. And he wants to set us free from everything and anything. There is unfortunately this belief out there with certain sins or certain strongholds, I can never overcome that. It's just my cross to bear until the Lord takes me home. That is wrong.
Right.
That is wrong thinking, that is wrong belief. Now, some fights might take a while. And I don't always understand why, and there's many, many different circumstances and nuances and all that, and I'll leave that up to the Lord, and we discern that on a situation-by-situation or a person-by-person basis, right? We discern it together, we discern it individually, we discern it together as a church, we discern it individually and as families and that, whatever. But what I do know is this, that God can overcome anything, and he wants to overcome anything and everything of the enemy in our lives, in the area of the soul. Again, like I said, with physical healing, that's to come. So we do not believe that every physical ailment needs to be healed right now. I say pray about everything and ask, because he can heal. But as far as the things of the soul, in the mind, in the will, in the emotions, in our personhood, everything should be overcome. God wants to overcome everything. When I say everything should be overcome, everything should be fought against. And the Lord can overcome. So if it's addictions, if it's certain mindsets, if it's pain from a past traumatic event, pain from a past abuse, because some people would say, some counselors would say, oh yeah, that abuse, you're never going to get over the thought of that. I mean, we're just going to try and manage it so that you can kind of get on with life. I'm like, no. What I believe Scripture is teaching is that you can actually come to a place of full healing. Absolute full healing. So I compared it again before to a deep wounding in the leg. I would say even you can come to a place of full healing where there's no limp anymore in that area. And where you can actually talk about that wound to other people without it stirring anything up in you. God wants to take you there. I know that Randy has shared, like, he was abused. And the only reason I say this publicly, he has shared it publicly many times. And he can talk about it. And he can share it. And he can use it in such a way to help others who have experienced that. He can minister to other people. And yeah, of course, there's a scar there. It's not a good thing. It's a sad thing. But God has healed it. You know, healed it to a place where, yeah, he can talk about it. He can share. He's been set free. Does that make sense? Where the enemy has no hold in his life in that area anymore. No twisting his emotions, no anything like that.
I think sometimes that in those, like, say, for that wound, that scar tissue is actually very strong.
Absolutely.
It may be visible, but it can actually be an area of strength.
It's actually stronger. It's actually stronger than regular skin. Just like where you break a bone, where it heals in the bone, that part of the bone is stronger than your other parts of the bone now.
Yeah. And the other thing that I was thinking about was that sometimes it's like if these things are not taken care of, like an infection in a wound, they will probably spread.
Absolutely.
And then there is that emotion or whatever, it will spread to other areas of your life. It is very difficult to contain it. Just
absolutely.
One small area,
yep.
It does spread.
Because that is the nature of the enemy. Remember Jesus said, it's like yeast working through the whole batch of dough. The enemy wants to take over everything. Now, on the opposite side, God wants to take over everything too. But the enemy wants to take everything over with death. God wants to bring life to everything. The enemy wants to wound. God wants to heal. The enemy wants to destroy. God wants to restore. You know, and it's just... But it's true, if it's not taken, again, you get that stronghold, you get that picture of the beachhead. Well, in war, okay, so say this is my life here, right, this table, and the enemy has a beachhead over here. So they set up camp there. They make defenses in that small area. Well, their goal is to spread from that area so that eventually, and this, and now they have defenses there. And then they try and spread a little further and further and further and further. He wants to take over everything. And if we let him, he'll just try to keep advancing. So we definitely want to take care of it. But we need to believe, it's so key to believe, that you can be set free. You can overcome. You are created to overcome. God lives in you to overcome. Talks about how we're more than conquerors. Okay? It's really important that we believe that God can do it. Because when we say, no, no, that can't do it, you know, God can't do it. Or well, we would never say it that way. When we say, no, this is just a part of who I am now, this is just part of my life, what we're saying is God can't do it. That's just not true.
Or sometimes you recognize you have a sin. For example, you smoke cigarettes a lot, and you go to someone who knows how to cast out demons, and they say, you know, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you for smoking, and so if you say that, just because the person said to say it, it won't happen. But if you do believe it, it is very possible that it will happen.
Or at least the battle will begin.
You need to personally believe it.
Yeah, it's not the words we say.
Yeah.
Like, and we've talked about this before too. Like in prayer, in praise, in worship, in preaching, in teaching, and all these things. It's not what we what we say has to come from a place of true belief. That's what's important, where it's coming from, a place of true belief. Otherwise, we're just lying to ourselves. We've got to be all in. Yep.
Greg says that God can overcome anything. Sometimes that kind of sounds like if he chooses to.
Mm.
But I mean, from my perspective, I would say maybe it's more God will overcome anything if we allow him to do that in our lives. We do have a place in that.
Right.
But it is his desire to overcome that. He always wants to heal, right?
Okay, and this is where it's really important.
It's his timing and all of that too,
mm-hmm.
But
this is where it's important to understand the time we're in, or the season, or the age that we're in, because again, I would say, for instance, with physical healing, I would say God, the grace and power of God can heal anyone, but he won't necessarily, because we're not in that age yet. But he can, and he often does, but we're not in the age of physical healing. Like, that is, again, the age to come. We have been saved in the spirit. We are being saved in the soul. We will be saved in the body. Because even the people who are closest to the Lord, they're still dying.
Yeah, I'm not thinking so much of
physical. I know. And that's why, and so what I would say is you're exactly right that with regards to the things in the soul, okay, our mind, our will, our emotions, we would say the grace and power of God will overcome anything if we walk it out with him. And sometimes it'll take a long time, sometimes it'll take a very short time. But I believe not only can he overcome anything, he will overcome anything in the area of the soul. So I fully agree that it's important that we change our thinking from that. Yeah, I know he can heal me from that wounding if he chooses to. No. He has already shown that he chooses to, and it's not just something that is coming when we see him face to face. It's something that he wants to do right now. And yes, when we see him face to face, whether he comes again, like whether Jesus comes again, or whether we go to him, like by dying and just going to, yes, that's when we'll experience the full healing in the soul and also in the body. But he wants to do that right now, like the soul part. So I agree 100%.
So I know we've talked a little bit about this before. So really then, what you're saying is that we could actually almost be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because God wants to do that.
Absolutely.
You know, so often we say, well, we're all on a journey,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, so it's actually it's possible to be...
Yeah, it's theoretically possible, I believe, to be...
So we have a sinful flesh.
But I do believe, we have a sinful flesh, but I think that even the invitation, be perfect, even as your Heavenly Father is perfect, Jesus says that, right? and it's repeated other places in the New Testament. I believe it is possible. Now, has anyone done it? No. Except Jesus, of course. Like, Jesus walked it out from the beginning to the end. Has anyone done it? No, not that I know of.
Frank Sinatra.
Actually, I was thinking, like, Enoch, right?
Just take the eraser to that one. Sorry. Enoch is a great example.
Or even Elijah,
so maybe,
because, I don't know.
I don't know. But again, and I don't want to get stuck on philosophy too much, right? Philosophical. It's this place of, it is possible, otherwise God wouldn't say to do it. And it should always spur us on then, if we see that there are imperfections in our thoughts, in our ways, okay, I'm going to keep on striving. I'm going to keep on pressing on because God has called me to be perfect. Not where it's guilt-ridden and, oh, I'm never going to measure up. No, no. He said I can go higher, so I'm going to go higher. He said I can go deeper, so I'm going to go deeper. Like, we're going to keep on going until all of a sudden I am no more and I just walk with God, like Enoch.
Yeah.
Right? And so it is possible, and that is our goal. But again, it's not guilt-driven. It's not an unholy striving, as in trying to measure up, because that's where the enemy can take it. It's not the, I'm trying to measure up, I can never measure up to you, God, I'm so horrible, blah, blah, blah. God doesn't want to hear that. God does not want to hear that. He loves us so much. He's crazy for us. Like, he just loves us. And he just wants to draw us closer and closer.
So, I think in Christian circles, like, the biggest hurdle is to have faith to believe that we have demons that we need to overcome. And once we begin to recognize that and have something cast out of us, like, when we begin to be set free, that means some of the demons have left us. And that means that we now know Jesus better than we did before. And we can hear the Holy Spirit better, and we can know why he created us better, and we will become more perfect as we believe.
Absolutely.
And are set free.
Yeah.
But we need to believe first.
Yeah. Because what we believe, like, we won't walk in a direction that we don't believe. You just won't. You only will walk in the direction that you believe. You might walk in a direction that you don't believe for a little bit, like just curiosity, or it's not that bad over that way. But any adversity or anything like that, in a direction that you don't believe, you'll eventually say, forget this. No way. And that's why it's really important that we believe what God says.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of two things. One is when Paul was at the island on the way to Rome, and they were
mm-hmm.
stranded.
Yep.
And that snake bit him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make a big fuss.
No.
He took it, put it into the fire. That wasn't French fries or steak, but it was gone.
Yeah.
But God used that before they said, this man said has demons.
Mm. Well, they said he must have been a criminal.
Yeah. So then when he did that, now, all of a sudden, they changed 180 degrees.
Yeah.
And they said no. But he was prepared. And I think that is what I like sometimes.
Yeah.
To be prepared for the occasion that I'm meeting.
Yeah. And it's that preparedness of the soul. It's that preparedness
yeah.
of our inner being, if you will. Like, that's what I mean by soul. Like, we actually are a soul. Like, technically, you are a soul who has a body. But yeah, he was prepared in his inner being
yeah.
for what was coming.
Some of us, they have more faith than others.
Mm-hmm.
I think we agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have experienced with my wife, and I, the reason I accepted that, I prayed, I was thinking of Jesus' prayer. when he taught his disciples. And he said, your will be done.
Yeah.
And I think I should not miss that.
Yeah, so key.
If whatever I want to ask, I can ask for. But your will be done.
Yeah.
That does not mean, oh, I'm so holy, well, I pray that happens. No. God is going to show us that we are still dependent on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, since Jesus taught the disciples, to me, that is a lesson that I've thought over for a while.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. All right. Word of caution. Because our Western philosophies and religious traditions have all but regarded the spiritual realm as ignorant superstitions of underdeveloped countries, we have swung so far on the pendulum of unbelief that it usually takes a catastrophic spiritual event to get our attention to the fact that the spiritual world even exists. But be careful that the pendulum does not swing too far in the other direction as we learn about these new truths, and by new truths to us, okay, about the spiritual realm. We do not want to walk in spiritism or superstition that does not operate in truth or faith, but we seek a balanced knowledge of the spiritual realm that will equip us with the principles and truth that will set us free. And what I would say is not just a balanced knowledge, but like just the true path, that narrow path of what it actually is. So yes, guess what? Everyone in this room probably has a demon. Probably has many demons. And demons that have strongholds and places of attack, and some that are very precious to you, actually, that you like very much, that you actually might even think that are the Holy Spirit, but they're not, okay? And so that's probably a fact, but we don't need to freak out about it, and we don't need to try and see a demon behind every door. It's just, that is so unhealthy. That is so absolutely unhealthy, and we cannot blame the demon. Okay? Because guess who is feeding him? The demons can't feed themselves. It's, we do it. And so then, though, like Carlene has already alluded to, we can starve it out too. We can stop feeding him. The responsibility is on us. And the demon is not stronger than us. We are stronger than him because of Christ. On our own, we are weaker.
Amen.
But because of Christ, we are stronger. We are stronger, and so we can walk this out. So we don't want to walk in superstition of, oh, I watched a show and there was a little bit of stuff that wasn't good. Maybe I got demonized from it. Oh no, I gotta say so many Hail Marys and this kind of thing. No, that's not how it works. It works through what we are choosing and what we are believing. Now, if we start believing that certain things are okay that are not okay, because even when I read through the whole things that one, like how the enemy comes in, things that one has witnessed, I think about what the TV, what our televisions, our movie screens, what we see there. And we have believed the lie that, oh, it's just a movie. Oh, it's just a TV show. It's not real life. You know what? Our souls don't differentiate that. I'm talking to myself here too, because there's certain things that, praise God, I just don't, can't watch anymore that I used to be fine with, but I realize it doesn't do good for me. And so I think I starved the demon out a little bit, but there's other things where I'm fine with, and I don't think I should be. I don't think I should be. And it's like, Lord, I don't want to give the enemy an opportunity. So I'm not trying to see a demon behind every place, but I'm also not going to be naive to his ways and the ways of the enemy, like the ways that the enemy works. Does that make sense? So we don't want to be superstitious. And we don't want to be spiritists, and we don't want to see a demon behind every door, but we also...
there can be a demon behind the door.
But I love that. Yeah. Do you understand? There can be a demon behind the door. Because some people, it's so true. I love that you brought that up. Because, yeah, some people say, oh, you just see a demon behind every door. It's like, no. But you know what? There might be one behind that door. And so it's just this balanced approach, this calm, peace-filled walk with God. Lord, show me what's going on. Any questions about that?
Well, just when you're talking about feeding them, like sometimes we actually name them, like we call them our pet peeves.
Yeah.
Which can be a stronghold.
Ooh,
too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point. You keep feeding those pets. Yeah. Certain things irritate you. You just keep feeding that irritation. Certain things make you bitter towards someone or a group of people, and you just keep feeding that bitterness.
I think of, because, you know, whether it's you're listening to a radio or whatever, and, you know, an announcer will, everybody phone in, what's your pet peeve? My pet peeve is crazy drivers on the road, because it gets me so irritated. Like, that's, I just hate crazy drivers on the road. And I'll say, I know there's some of that in me. It's like, yeah, but am I walking in how I should? Like, that's my pet peeve.
Right.
But I feed it instead of, Lord, I want to pray against it.
Yeah.
And I don't want that.
I don't want to partake
in it. And that's where, you find people of similar spirit and you grumble together and it gets stronger, right?
Oh, man, do we see that happening right now? And with Hillary and Donald, with the whole thing that's going on, or even with ISIS and constant bad news, and you see people's fears or people's irritations, and I was just thinking about this, like one of the ways that trying to get sucked in, the enemy tries to suck us in, and it's through other people, is, but you should be in the know, like you should have an opinion about this. Should I? Do I really need to? Is it really important that I have an opinion on this? Or that I know about every single little thing that goes on? Or, you know, no, it's not. You see like demons trying to rile. So you have the demons on the Hillary Clinton side, if you will. You know, and just feeding it, and Donald's a lunatic, and blah, 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 and this and that. And then you have the demons on the Donald side, if you will. Like, just to give it's not their fault, per se, but like, Hillary's the Antichrist, and this and that and that. And it's like, you know what? They're both people who need the Lord.
Amen.
And they're both people who have done some pretty evil things that they're going to have to answer for if they don't get right with God. And as they stand, if they walk in the ways, let me just put it this way, if anyone, whatever, they walk in the ways of the enemy, they're going to bring danger to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But let's not feed our own demonic stuff. Getting people riled up. Yeah, you want to see a lot of spiritual strongholds. Just pay attention to the comment sections if you can handle it. If you see stuff rising up in you, just don't go to the comment section then and stay away. But man, you can see demonic stuff happening and strongholds there.
And the thing is, it can let's say you're people of like mind.
Yeah.
It ties you together.
Yeah.
But in an unholy...
Yeah, unholy, yeah. A soul tie. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Big time.
So it gets stronger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we want to... But we seek a balanced knowledge of the spiritual realm that will equip us with the principles and the truth that will set us free. And that really is the goal. Lord, we want to be set free. And we want to see other people set free. I don't want to see people live their life according to their strongholds, according to sin, or according to their wounding. I don't want that. God doesn't want that for us. Okay. John 8:32, who has that? Someone read that for us.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yeah. The truth will set you free. So, Lord, I want to know truly what's going on here. I want to understand. Not because, oh, I need it, but like, I want to understand so that I can live my life based on the truth. Because that's where freedom is found. So, on the one hand, ignorance of your enemy can bring bondage. But on the other hand, obsession with your enemy can bring bondage. It's so true. Remember that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. You'll recognize it because of peace. You'll recognize peace. You'll recognize freedom. You'll recognize joy. Like the fruit of the Spirit will be evident. Joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Again, back to the election stuff down in the States right now, or even our own election stuff, or even there's this campaign. Sign the petition, FireWin, you know, like firewin.ca or whatever it is, you know, kind of thing. And I'm not saying she's doing a great job. I wish she was doing a better job. And I'm not saying some things that have been passed are good. No, there's a lot of stuff that's bad. But there is such an obsession. It's so unholy. And instead of praying for her, like, people spend more time, there's a lot of Christians who spend more time petitioning that she get fired rather than praying for her. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where we're supposed to petition that someone gets fired. Now, held accountable and that, yep, we live in a democracy and that's great and that's good. But am I seeing people walk in peace and in love and in joy and in stillness? Or is it obsession? And that just reveals a stronghold, okay? And so we want to make sure that we walk in that spirit of freedom and peace and liberty, okay? So if you find yourself walking in the bondage of fear or obsession or superstition regarding the demonic, it's not of God. I've seen this too where, oh, you didn't pray exactly right, so the enemy's going to get you. You didn't finish that prayer within Jesus' name. So you've opened yourself up to spiritual attack. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. In Jesus' name simply means in communion with Jesus. It means you pray as if it's Jesus himself praying. In his spirit, in his character, with his words. It's not ending a prayer within Jesus' name. Then it's like ending a prayer with abracadabra, so be it.
Yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous. You don't even have to say amen. You don't have to start your prayers with dear Jesus. You can, there's nothing wrong with that. Or Father God, there's nothing wrong with that, it's good. But you don't have to. You don't even have to end your prayers with amen. Did you know that? It doesn't make your prayer more powerful.
He reads our mind.
He knows our mind. He knows our heart. We just talk with him. Okay? It's not superstition. So, there is wisdom, protection, and freedom that come when an understanding of how the supernatural and natural world flow and affect one another. Our natural inclination is to entirely separate the two, but in God's kingdom, they are integrally related. It is not balanced to see a demon behind every door, but neither it is balanced to never see the demon behind the door. Spirit-filled discernment is our balance and protection that sees the demon behind the door, but only if it's really there. And that's what we are in combating the enemy and fighting against the enemy. That's what we... that's what we want to walk in. So even going back to the snake thing, you know, with Carlene and in the Amazon, yeah, I haven't seen any evidence of a stronghold in her life. And I love that you brought that up, Larry, that just because she responded that way doesn't mean she has a stronghold. It's a very natural reaction to be, I want to go the other way. Or, ooh, that's weird. I don't want any part of that. You know, and some people will. And so I don't want to, because you reacted that way. You know, that's why that word is so important, because I don't want anyone to become unbalanced. Oh, because we need to cast the demon of fear snakes out of you. No, we don't. Okay? But then when we think about what the enemy is doing with you, Candace, and the spider thing, it's like, Lord, like, and this is where we need discernment too. It's okay to not like spiders, because spiders are poisonous. Some, right? And
that's why.
Yeah. That's the reason? Yeah, that's it. Because I actually, like, just I'm thinking of it, I don't want to automatically, like, again, fear isn't from the Lord, but I don't want to automatically think, I just don't want to think incorrectly. But what we do know is the enemy is taking advantage of something there. And, okay, let's deal with what we know. You don't have to automatically label it. There's no rule that says you have to know everything before you battle it. What I do know is that's not good that the enemy does that. Like night terrors or nightmares or opening your eyes and still seeing the spider there. Like, that's not going to fly. That's not allowed. So in the name of Jesus, I come against that. You know, and just start there. Start with where you know and battle. Yeah. You know, and then as the Lord reveals, he'll reveal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I love that we're learning together, because, like, yeah, this is new to me. I mean, it's new to us too, as we're walking through this more and more.
Yeah, because I know I've shared, I think, here before too, like in the last few years, like, I've always had no issues with sleeping, and now I do at times. And sometimes I know it's an attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like, we've talked about it, and, you know, is there an open door or whatever? And, like, I don't think that there is. And I just, I don't know, I saw something on one of the shows or whatever, and I just was like, oh, that's what it is. There was a guy fighting, and you could see he was a Christian, and then there was just, like, demons fighting against, but you couldn't see, like, it was just not a full shape, right? Like, so you could tell. And you could see that the guy that was fighting was gaining strength. And I could tell, like, I was like, oh, Lord, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Somehow you're strengthening me.
Good.
For whatever,
yep.
You know? And not that it will always be that either. Sometimes maybe it might be something, but whatever.
That's where, praise God, he lives in us, and we walk it out on a day-by-day basis. You know, there are certain principles, yes, that always apply, but, like, you know, the character and the fruit of the Spirit and such. But just because God woke you up last night doesn't mean tonight, if you get woken up, it's automatically God.
That kind of happened.
Absolutely.
Where I'll wake up and I'll know this is from God. I have to get up, and it's but other times, oh no, here it is, and I still have to go downstairs.
Yep.
I have to deal with that, right?
Yep.
Anyway.
And you know what? Sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night, it's because you shouldn't have drank that coffee before you went to bed. You know? The bathroom is calling. Sometimes it's not like, sometimes
exactly.
It's just, yep. You ate something funny and
or too much.
That's the parallel with the being like with Carlene's situation.
Yes.
Where it's, you know, sometimes waking up at night is because your body needs something to happen. Sometimes you freeze up because your body freezes up.
Yep.
And it's not either or.
It's just
that's just what it is.
It's just life. just what it is. Absolutely. So again, we don't want to go in extremes. Lord, what's going on here? And just show me. I'll share one of my strongholds that actually I've pretty much overcome. For the longest time, I've shared this before, but it's good for an example. For the longest time, anytime Carlene went out, wherever, and she was even a little bit late coming home, automatically there would be this intense, like, she's dead. Or she had an accident. Or something went wrong. Ah, and just it would grip me. And I thought it was discernment. Well, you'd think, like, the Holy Spirit.
Here I am.
You think after the 500th time I would realize that it wasn't the Lord, you know? But no, and I had to work through it. And it was demonic. I know it was demonic because the enemy would... So I'd be like, you're not the Holy Spirit. Oh, but what if I am? You know, kind of thing. And I could almost hear... like inside the voice. It's, yeah, what if he is? I don't want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I don't want to say it's not the Holy Spirit if it is. But just hold it. You've been lying to me for years. You're not the Holy Spirit. And so I just began, in the name of Jesus, get out. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. May the Lord come against you. Lord, forgive me for listening. Forgive me for feeding this fear. Forgive me for feeding these lies. Forgive me, Lord God. And yeah, I've been set free from that. Now, every once in a while, he'll try to come back. A few months ago, he tried to come back a few times. It's like, go away. You know? And I even think, with Andrew gone, like, we haven't heard from him. And we told him to message us in L.A. We told him to message us when he got to Sydney. He hasn't done either.
But he did Facebook's
someone in L.A. You know? But I'm just curious. I can honestly say, I'm just curious. I'm not afraid. I'm just curious. Praise God. You know, I just, I wonder how he's doing. I wonder how things went. I want to just talk to him and see. But it's not this, I wonder if he's lost. Or I wonder if he even got on the plane in L.A. I wonder if, you know, no, there's nothing like that. But we have to come against it, and where we recognize when it's a spiritual attack and a spiritual stronghold too. Okay, it's just a personal example of a stronghold that I've had to overcome in my life. Okay, so again, if you find yourself walking in bondage of fear, that was that one for me. Obsession or superstition regarding the demonic, it's not good. It's not of God. There is wisdom, protection, and freedom that come from understanding how the supernatural... Oh, I already read that. And how it affects one another. I already read to the end of that, didn't I?
Many believers?
I should start there. So how will I know if I need deliverance? Sorry, I got lost there. How will I know if I need deliverance? That is one way. The praise God for the body. No, I don't think I should tell. You need deliverance.
Well, now that Larry said that, when you were talking about the sphere, I said as well as it wasn't wishful thinking.
I don't know.
I didn't get that.
Sorry. That you had a fear that Carly was in an accident.
Jaunty! Well, that's why sometimes you should just keep things inside. No, definitely not.
So someone who needs deliverance has probably gone to many different avenues to try to get help and have not been helped yet.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Say it again.
Someone who needs deliverance has probably tried to go through many different avenues, like a psychiatrist or a mental hospital.
Or counseling.
And nothing helps. And so it's like the last straw. Like, they have manifestations that they can't control.
I would say that's true in places where there's not an understanding of deliverance. Because if there's an understanding of deliverance, you might actually seek deliverance right away.
Right.
But someone who doesn't have an understanding of deliverance,
yeah
you can... I've tried and tried and tried and tried. I've read books. I've listened to different talks and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Many believers go through their entire Christian walk and never knowingly encounter deliverance. Good teaching, truth, holiness, tenacity, and willpower can go a long way in fighting the enemy. A lot of people actually fight the enemy without knowing that they're fighting the enemy. A lot of people are actually walking through steps of deliverance even though they have no theology for deliverance, because they're applying biblical truth and biblical principle. They're repenting, they're believing, they are trusting, they're exercising their will and choosing righteousness. They're not feeding the enemy, they're starving him out, even though they don't know that that's actually what's taking place. And again, God doesn't care if there's an actual, like, yes, an understanding helps, but if these things are being walked out, God isn't going to say, well, I'm not going to deliver that person because...
No.
It's just like nutrition. You might not understand nutrition. You might just eat healthy because you like fruit and vegetables and all those things. You're going to be healthy even if you don't understand the science of nutrition. So too with deliverance. Okay? So, yeah, a lot of people are walking through those steps. Some go through many stages of progressive deliverance where they starve the enemy out to such a degree that eventual freedom comes, many times without even realizing that it is demonic in nature. And by the way, after decades of deliverance ministry, Randy and Darla, I've talked with Randy about this more, but they believe that starving the demon out is the most effective way of deliverance. There have been many power encounters that Randy and Darla have had where they cast the demon out. I would say they probably would now recommend more starve the demon out to such a place where the demon has nothing left to, like, it is very weak, and then you cast it out. Don't try and cast it out when it's strong in the person. Encourage the person to choose right, choose righteousness, choose belief, exercise their will, starve the enemy out, and then once the enemy is weakened, that's when you cast it out then. Okay? So it's just an interesting point, like, and I know that they've talked about that with us. But for those times when you feel out of control or just can't seem to get past an issue, sin, or torment, no matter how much you pray or get counsel, then maybe it's time for deliverance. And there are times like that where they believe, they've repented, they've faithfully repented, they faithfully believed, and yet the demon is still tormenting them. Yeah, then it might be time for deliverance, as in casting out right then and there. Deliverance is not a cure-all or a fast fix. It is a tool in the arsenal of the believer, coupled with faith and obedience that brings freedom. It's a power encounter with the enemy that should never be taken lightly. And we need to understand, again, too, that the whole reason for deliverance is to set the person free so they can walk with God more faithfully and more freely. Because we just don't want to see a person tormented. We don't want to see a person weighed down. We want to all run the race as to win the prize. And the enemy is trying to drag us the other way. And so, we just want to see people set free. It's not to be taken lightly. So coming against the enemy. You know, so when we pray, we even though greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, even though we know that we are more than conquerors, we don't take it lightly and don't take it flippantly. I think Jude is a great book to read in the scriptures then for an understanding of how we're to approach the enemy when we do have that power encounter. And it is very much with respect, and it's with a humility. So even when Michael, the archangel, came against the enemy and had a dispute about Moses' body, and I don't know what the dispute was, but there was an argument going on between Michael, who is one of the archangels in heaven, and Satan, Lucifer. Michael didn't get all uppity and all proud. He said, "May the Lord rebuke you." Talked very humbly, even though Michael is so powerful. talk very humbly, and so too we need to need to be humble and be serious in this, and not take things lightly. Does that make sense?
I was going to say the scripture verse: "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And I've mentioned this before, where it's really a truth encounter.
Absolutely.
And believing that truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that you mentioned that before, and I love it because it's so true. It's a truth encounter. And we see that even back in the garden. It was a truth encounter. God said, but the enemy said something else. Now who are you going to believe? And it really is a truth. The manifestation will be a power encounter, meaning that the enemy will put up a fight, but our power is in the Lord and in His authority, and it's there because He is true, and He is right. And not just that we can speak the right, but that we are walking in the right and walking in the truth. So the enemy is going to try and throw up those lies and different things. Yeah.
That's where I love the idea, or I agree with the idea of like starving the enemy out, because you're walking it out,
yeah.
So it becomes more of who you are. Like it's ingrained almost,
yeah.
As opposed to like an encounter, which obviously can happen as well.
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, replaced with what? Like
mm-hmm.
It's, right? And scripture talks about that. Like, don't just leave the house empty. It's got to be filled with something
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
And there's more conviction or more something by walking it out. Because then it's the truth in you that's ingrained in you, and you're living it right away.
Yeah. Yeah, and as the beautiful thing about starving the enemy out is as you're starving, you're feeding
yes.
your own spirit and your own soul with God's truth. So as he's getting weaker, you're getting stronger in the Lord. You know, as the enemy's getting weaker, you're getting stronger in the Lord. So, I agree. Okay, we will end there for tonight, and we'll carry on next week.